Readings this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus, the one who multiplies his grace and peace to us. Is that your experience this morning? I think we already were blessed and inspired to be here. Privileged to be here with you this morning to worship with you. Those of like precious faith, do we treasure this? A privilege, opportunity. Also want to bring greetings from the congregation at home there at McVeightown. Gospel Light Fellowship invite your presence, your visiting there with us as well. We're always glad for visitors. And I know some of you have visited there in the past. And some of us sitting here this morning and just looking over the audience here, it's just there's a kinship here, I think, with a lot of you. I wondered if I would ask for a raise of hands. I'm not going to do that, but how many that are here this morning that have connections with the New Order Amish Church, that their roots would go back? Quite a few. And as I think of that, I think that's where we have, that's our kinship. But it's not just with those this morning. I think it's each one that is here. Brother Leroy is sitting here, and Brother Mel, they're retired ministers, I guess. I guess they say they're retired or in that age. And but I always appreciated them and hearing them preach. And so this morning we're here to share the Word of God, and I don't have anything new to share this morning. The message this morning is just to encourage us, to inspire us to keep on. Appreciated the discussion in our Sunday school lesson, and some of the points that were brought out in our lesson today might be included in the message this morning as well. You can turn with me for a text scripture to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we have Jesus speaking here. And for those of you who have Bibles that, and I know a lot of the Bibles that are in print have Jesus' words in red. And you can see that here in this scripture this morning that I'm going to be reading just a part of. It's a lengthy scripture, so I'm not going to read all of it. But I'd just like to break in verse 22 and read verses 22 to 40. Luke 12, 22 to 40. Jesus speaking here says, "And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, the God feedeth them. How much more are ye not better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where neither thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, and when he cometh and knocketh, that ye may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And he shall come in the second watch, and if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through." And then the last verse, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." And you're probably wondering, what for message do I have out of this portion of Scripture where we have so many things here? I believe we could make messages out of this portion of Scripture that I just read to you. As I thought of Jesus' early ministry, we go back to Luke chapter 4. Here in the Gospel of Luke, we can see there in chapter 4, where after Jesus was on the mountain there for 40 days, he had his encounter with the devil, with Satan. He was being tempted. He fasted 40 days, and it was right after he descended from the mountain. It says that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he preached the gospel. There's a prophetic scripture there that has been fulfilled. If you go back into the Old Testament, you can find the very words that Jesus spoke there. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then it says there later on in that those verses that they marveled at his gracious words. The gracious words of Jesus. And we still do that today, do we not? We marvel at the gracious words of our Lord Jesus. You know, when Jesus was here, he always said what he meant, and he meant what he said. His words were always truth, and the people were trying to find fault with him. They always were trying to find fault with our Lord Jesus. They tried to fault his words. But right here in the middle of this passage of scripture, or we can say in the middle of this chapter that I just read, we have verses 31 and 32, where Jesus said, "Rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So I titled the message this morning, "The Father's Good Pleasure." And his good pleasure is to give us the kingdom. It seems like Jesus was reminding them of a lot of things here, that maybe life is more than about things. He reminded them to keep their loins girded and their lights burning. And he reminded them of the second coming, that he's coming back again. The last verse I just read there, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." But I believe if we would conclude here that the most important thing that Jesus is saying here, that we receive the kingdom. And it's the Father's good pleasure to do that. God delights in his people. God delights in giving us. You know, we are at the receiving end. God is the giver. And in this kingdom, and we talked about the kingdom of darkness this morning, and I have 3 points we'd like to look at this morning in this message. And first one is the entrance to the kingdom, and then also just look briefly at the contrast between the two kingdoms. And then we'd like to conclude with pleasures within this kingdom. Well, this morning, by nature, we are not part of this kingdom. And we could look at a lot of different scriptures this morning that would refer to that. In Ephesians 2, it tells us that we are by nature the children of wrath. That's how we came into this world. We're not here. We're not automatically in this kingdom that God wants to give us. So we are by nature the children of wrath. And then also in Romans 2, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So we're all by nature the children of wrath. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God delights in giving us the kingdom this morning. And that's what we'd like to look at. What does, when you think of pleasure, you know, often when we think of pleasures, we think of the pleasures of this world. And the Bible talks about the pleasures of the kingdom, of this kingdom that is, that we can be a part of. And it also talks about the pleasures of this world. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. As I thought of pleasure, I looked it up in the Webster. It's a pleased feeling, it's enjoyment, it's delight, satisfaction. And that's what we find as God's children. God has a pleased feeling. It's his pleasure to give us this kingdom. And we find enjoyment, we find delight, we find fulfillment in this kingdom. But if we turn that, the flip side of that is the kingdom of this world is also has enjoyment and has pleasures and has delights, but it's short-lived. It's not an eternal reward, but it's eternal damnation. So this morning, receiving this kingdom is a choice. We need to choose. We have to make a choice to accept this kingdom. We do not become a part of it just because our parents are a part of the kingdom or our grandparents. Yes, we have a goodly heritage. This morning I appreciated so much the Sunday school devotions, you know, the blessings that we have. We are such a blessed people. But we have to make ourselves, we have to receive this kingdom. I could take this glass of water and I could hand it to Junior. And unless he receives it, it would not do him any good. And it's the same way with God. When he wants to give us the kingdom, his hand is stretched out. And unless we put our hand out and receive it, it will not do us any good. So it's a personal choice. You know, ever since Satan was cast out of heaven and the fall there in the Garden of Eden, there's been a conflict between the two kingdoms. And we can mark it down. It's going to be that way until the end of time. It's going to continue. That's Satan's business. Satan is here to distract and attack God's people from this kingdom. That's his work. The Bible calls him an accuser of the brethren. It also says that he's an angel of light. He's a roaring lion. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the father of lies. And so he's doing all he can. We heard this morning about standing. Stand therefore. And I don't know if you noticed how many times in that scripture it says that we are to stand. We have to stand to fight against this enemy of our soul who seeks to distract us from this eternal kingdom. As Bible readers, you know, as we read the scriptures, especially the gospels, we notice that many times Jesus refers to either it's the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And I think these can be interchangeable. Sometimes he said the kingdom of God, and next time said the kingdom of heaven. And oftentimes he made reference to the kingdom of heaven is like unto. So what is this kingdom? What is the kingdom that Jesus is talking about? Turn with me to Luke 17. I'd like to look at some of the quotes, the scriptural quotes that Jesus made about this kingdom. Luke 17, verse 20. We have Jesus here. It says, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So this is not a kingdom that is observed by observation. It's not a kingdom with geographical boundaries, we would say. But the kingdom of God is within you. And in Matthew 18, Jesus said that except ye be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. These are Jesus' words. Then also again in John chapter 3, twice, Jesus said there when he was talking to Nicodemus that except ye be born again, you cannot enter, nor can you see the kingdom. So what does that mean to us this morning? The kingdom of God is within us. It's within us. It begins, I believe, with the work of God's Spirit within our hearts. And that could be a message in itself this morning as we think of the steps to come into this kingdom. Repentance, confession of sin, restitution. I believe it's all included in receiving the kingdom. So in Ephesians 1, and there's so many scriptures that we could turn to this morning as we think of this kingdom. I'd just like to turn here to Ephesians chapter 1 and read verses 3 to 9. And I think I call this the passport into the kingdom. You know, when we travel, a lot of us in here this morning probably traveled to other countries. You had to have a passport to show that you are a citizen of the country that you're in. And here I'd like to just use this scripture as a spiritual passport into this kingdom that Jesus is talking about. Begin reading in verse 3 here in Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children of Jesus Christ to himself. And then listen to what he says here, according to the good pleasure of his will, It's God's good pleasure to give us this kingdom, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. And we could just read on and on in the book of Ephesians. It's such a deep book as we think of the grace of God. It's a book for the church of God, for our time today. And just this short passage here, I'd like to just use this as a spiritual passport into the kingdom. And it's God's good pleasure to give us this kingdom. It says, according to the good pleasure of his will. Turn with me to Isaiah. I'd like to look at a prophetic scripture as we think of this kingdom. It was also prophesied in the Old Testament. And there's a lot of scriptures, again, that we could turn to. Isaiah 52, verse 9 and 10 says, break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. So we have a prophecy of the kingdom to come. And as we think of God this morning, the good pleasure of his will to give us this kingdom, it says here that he made bare his holy arm. As I think of that this morning, I think of my own soul. You know, God stripped himself. He made bare his holy arm. Why? That the eyes of all nations may see him. And all the ends of the earth. Shall see the salvation of our God. That was God's plan from in the Old Testament. It was prophesied of this kingdom. And then if you go over to chapter 53 in Isaiah, verse 10, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The pleasure of the Lord. It was God's pleasure. As we read Isaiah 53 here, as we read of the suffering that was prophesied of Christ, it was God's pleasure that the Lord should prosper in his hand. And today we received his kingdom. You know, when John the Baptist started preaching there in Matthew, beginning of Matthew, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in the next chapter in Matthew 4, Jesus had the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we would conclude this morning that this kingdom is within us. We need to receive this kingdom through the blood of Jesus. And just like to look at a few of the references that Jesus made, what the kingdom of heaven is like unto. Turn with me to Matthew 13. And there's many. Again and again, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. Here in Matthew 13, just read verses 44 to 46. It says, again, and the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The kingdom of heaven is like unto, it's this hid treasure, it's this goodly pearl. It's something that we seek after. We notice it says that they sought after this, they seeketh it. And I think it's that's our responsibility, that's our duty this morning. We need to seek this kingdom to get into the kingdom. Yes, God doesn't have any grandchildren this morning, but each one must make this personal choice. And then within this kingdom, as we heard this morning in our Sunday school lesson, we have a fight to fight. But this morning, it's a good fight. It's the good fight of faith. It's that good fight that we are engaged in when we get into this kingdom. But it's our experience this morning is we must take these steps to enter. Well, Jesus also made it very clear there in Matthew chapter 7, that not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, unto me is going to enter into the kingdom. And in Matthew 25, we have the account of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Very likely these virgins looked the same. They were doing maybe the same things, but there was something wrong. There was something within their heart. 5 had the kingdom within, the others 5 did not. And so this morning, I believe it is important that we sell all that we have. As I said, we find this great pearl of great price. And I believe within this kingdom is a life of submission and obedience to the will of God. You know, Jesus is so ready to pardon our sins and to forgive us. In Nehemiah 9:17 says, but thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. That's the will of God. That's the heart of God. That's his pleasure this morning to do that for us. Do you believe this morning that you can believe in Jesus and not be in the kingdom? According to that scripture that I just read where it says, there's not one to me, not all that's going to say, Lord, Lord, is going to enter. So we can believe in Jesus this morning and still not be in the kingdom. We have to do more than just believe. We have to accept his provisions and by faith and then works to follow in obedience to his will. Scripture tells us also that the devils, they believe and tremble. So this morning it takes more than a lip profession. So we would conclude this morning with the thought of entering the kingdom with Jesus' words where he said, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. Entering the kingdom. And he that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. Okay, looking a little bit at the contrast between the two kingdoms. We have the kingdom of light, we have the kingdom of darkness. God is the ruler of light, Satan is the ruler of darkness. John 1 tells us that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So both of these kingdoms have a ruler, and both reign, both have servants. I think that scripture was quoted this morning there in Romans, that whose servant we are, that's the one we're going to obey. Jesus dwells in the heart of the contrite heart, the one who accepts his provisions, that's the kingdom of light. Revelation talks about the kingdom of darkness, the prince of the power of the air, a roaring lion and an angel of light. What are some attributes within the kingdom of light? I'd like to look at some of those. This kingdom that God has such a pleasure to give us. And I guess this morning my question is, do you delight in the law of the Lord? Do you find delight or do you find joy in serving the Lord within this kingdom? Some of the attributes that I thought of is, I said light, it's a kingdom of love, it's a kingdom of obedience. We find forgiveness. It's a kingdom of purity, integrity, submission. Oh, the list could just go on. It's a kingdom of victory and strength. We heard that this morning, where we find power to overcome our temptations. We find power to live a life of victory. That's within this kingdom. It's also a kingdom of requirements, separation from the world. You know, we're not of this world. Jesus said, or the scripture tells us there, I think it was Paul's writing, that we're supposed to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. This kingdom has boundaries. Are we glad for boundaries this morning? You know, some people today, it seems like it's the modern trend, nominal Christianity. It's just believe in the heart and that's all it takes. But this kingdom has boundaries. And their boundaries are set there for our good. And the church, within this kingdom, we find the church of God. We find the people of God. And within this kingdom, there's eternal rewards. Pleasures forevermore. Now let's just look at some of the contrast of the other kingdom, which is the kingdom of this world. It's the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan. Evil, hatred, it's hypocrisy, it's bondage. which the other kingdom was freedom. In Satan's kingdom, it's bondage, it's sin. It bogs us down. And some people get that turned around today. They think that the church restrictions or church standards are bondage, and they want to be free from that. And so it's just what in the heart. But God puts the boundaries there for us. In the kingdom of God, there is no boundaries. You can do as you please. You can serve self. You can go out and do what you want to do. All the works of darkness are there. Pride, envy, seasonal pleasures, immorality, all the works of the flesh. Self reigns. But the wages of sin is death. This kingdom will have eternal consequences. Where the other kingdom is the gift of God, this kingdom is the wages of sin is death. There's a big difference there. And this morning, my dear friends, brother and sister, eternity is too long to get it wrong. The seasonal pleasures. You know, Satan, I believe, sometimes he puts camouflages up, or maybe smoke screens, and we just don't see that he's along the road of the kingdom, trying to distract and attack, as I said earlier, the people from the kingdom of God. That's why it's so important, as we had in our Sunday school lesson, that we daily walk with God, and we fill ourselves with the Word of God, and we meditate and we pray. Alone with God, O blessed retreat. Well, Jesus made it very clear that his kingdom is not of this world. You know, when he was there in Gethsemane, the night before his suffering and crucifixion, when the soldiers came to take him, Peter was going to defend himself. And he took the sword and he cut off the servant's ear. And Jesus, full of compassion and love, he picked that ear up and he healed it. And he said, put your sword, Peter, put the sword where it belongs. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. So there is a big difference in these two kingdoms. Let's look at some of the differences, just a few I have here, thinking of light and darkness. And you know, the closer we come to the light, the further away we get from darkness. Because Satan cannot come into the light. He is not light. He's dark. There is no light in Satan. And so the closer we come to the light, to God, to Jesus, the further away we get from darkness. I think that should be special to us as God's children. Love reigns in this kingdom. God himself is love. And as God himself is love, and we become a part of this kingdom, then his love constraineth us. In other words, it activates us, it compels us, our hearts to reach out to others. You know, we're not in this kingdom just now we're saved. God put us in here. We're in within this boundary. When I talk about boundaries, I was talking about the boundaries that God sets up in his word to keep us from going out into sin. It's not the boundaries are, we go out beyond in the regions beyond, and we share the gospel with those that are close to us in our neighborhood, in our community, across the seas and wherever it is. That's God's love reigning in our hearts. Forgiveness. There's no forgiveness in the kingdom of darkness, but in this kingdom of heaven, we forgive. We've been forgiven, and so we also forgive. Isn't that a blessing in church life, in this kingdom? A kingdom of forgiveness, a kingdom of peace, because we serve the Prince of Peace. We have Jesus as our master, as our king. And in this kingdom, there's separation. There's separation from church and state. And we know now that there's a political upheaval right now in our country, but we choose not to become a part of that. We choose not to become a part of that. But I believe the church is challenged today, especially with what's coming in our country with re-election and Just not too long ago, one of our neighbors, he's a professing man, he's a Protestant man, they're church-going people, very good neighbors. We had a conversation there here some time ago. We met each other there in the lane, and he got to talking about this political thing, and he just said, "What can we do to get your people to vote? What can we do to get you to vote?" You know, he's a professing man. So what do we say? Do we know where we stand? Do we have an answer for such people? Yeah, we can. We pray. We tell them what we'll be praying. Yeah, well, I know, but they pray too. But they want us to go and cast our vote. I trust we're not doing that. But the kingdom of heaven, the church, we're being challenged with that. Where do we stand? I don't know how many of you read the article that Gary Miller just had recently published in one of the, the Plain Business book that comes. Anyhow, there was a quote that I wrote down that he put in there. It says, "When we choose to enter the voting booth and get involved in political process, we're telling a lost world that force and power are the way to bring change." And that wasn't Jesus' way. Jesus never used force. He never used power to make changes. His words, he spoke the word. And we have that in when he was there, when, as I said earlier, they came, the soldiers came to take him. Jesus said, "Whom seekest thou?" They fell backwards. That was the words of Jesus. He didn't have to use a sword to defend himself. He could have called 12 legions of angels to come and to fight the battle for him. So we are called to go into the world with the gospel message to save souls and not to destroy them. The kingdom of heaven is within us. We're not in this world, we're not in this kingdom to fight or to use force. And it's God's good pleasure this morning, I believe, that souls are saved, and I believe we have a responsibility in that. All right, just like to conclude here with a few thoughts yet on pleasures within this kingdom. How do you find it in your experience? Is it a joy for you to serve the Lord? Are you finding pleasures? And we're talking about pleasures within this kingdom. It's pleasures that don't gratify just to our flesh. That's the worldly pleasures. That's the thing that the world is seeking after. And those pleasures are short-lived, as I had said earlier. They're going to come to an end. Just like to look at just several scriptures. Turn with me to Psalm 35. If you want to, you can turn there. Psalm 35, verse 27. Thinking now of the pleasures that, how God delights in his people. Psalm 35, verse 27. "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." God delights when he sees us prosper. We all like to prosper materially, don't we? We like to make a living and be prosperous. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think this scripture here, that God delights in the prosperity of his servant, is in the spiritual progress, the spiritual prosperity. And oh, we need that in these times that we're living in, when we have an enemy that is constantly seeking to distract and attack us. God delights in the prosperity of his servant. It means you. It means each one of us this morning. God delights in that. Psalm 37, verse 4, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Again, I believe it's the pleasure of God to give us. When we delight in the law of the Lord, when we delight in the Lord, he gives us the desires. He gives us the right motives and the right desires of our heart. Let's not disappoint him. Let's not disappoint him or grieve him and go after the pleasures of this world that are just so seasonal. Psalm 149. Is another one. Verse 4. "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." We see the connection here. We see the beautiful part of being a part of this kingdom. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. And he meets all our needs. We have nothing, no lack. But we have much more given to us He takes pleasure in his people. He loves to see when his people in the congregation, when there's unity, when there's harmony, when there's working together. He loves to see when his people are reaching out and helping the needy, going out into the othermost parts of the world, and even in our communities. He takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. In 1 Chronicles 29:17, you don't have to turn to that, where David's words, where he says, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and has pleasure in uprightness. Just, God has pleasure in right living, just righteous living. God delights in that. Ezra 10, verse 10 and 11. It says, And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, Ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. God takes pleasure in confession of sin. He takes pleasure in that when we confess our sins. You know, when we sin, when we fail, God knows it. He already knows it. He's just waiting for us to confess it. He takes pleasure in that. And that's just the mercy of God this morning. He doesn't write us off when we fail, but he takes pleasure when we confess our sins, when we just make our wrongs right. And we do what it takes to restore that relationship. Confession of sin is good for the soul. It keeps us in tune with God. It's one of those things I believe is going to help us to fight that fight we heard this morning in our Sunday school lesson. You know, if we have sin in our heart, it's going to weaken our battle. We're going to fail. We're going to stumble. Many promises we could look to. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin can and will separate us from this kingdom. It will. Confession, it takes confession to get into the kingdom, and it takes confession to stay within the kingdom. I believe confession for the soul is our spiritual maintenance. We need to do that. Another scripture in Deuteronomy 30:9-10. I'm not going to turn to it, but it's where Moses was telling the children of Israel, if they hearken and listen to the voice of God and keep his commandments, that he would again rejoice over them. I believe he was speaking for God. You know, they were disobedient. The children of Israel were disobedient time and time again. But if they hearkened and kept the commandments, then he would rejoice over them. He would have pleasure in them. The thought of pleasure in obedience. God just delights in obedience. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. That's just how it is. We trust God and we obey him. Trust that's our desire and your desire as well. In Revelation 4:11, it says, God created all things for his good pleasure. So as we think of now some of the pleasures that we just enjoy as we observe God's creation, he says he created all things for his good pleasure. And in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says that he hath made everything beautiful in its time. And as we just observe things around us, just nature, I thought this past summer, I don't know if you thought about it or not, but I thought we had some of the most beautiful sunrises and sunsets, rainbows, just time and again. God just showed his majesty, his beauty. He has created all things for his good pleasure. And we can observe this as we're in the kingdom of God, we notice these things. I wondered already, what do people think that are not in the kingdom of God when they observe such a beautiful sunrise? Yesterday morning, out there at our place, we had our rain fairly early. Actually, no, it was before it rained. The sun just peeped a little bit. There was a cloud cover coming over, and one of the neighbors, a faithful brother there, he called me, and he said, Dan, did you see God is pulling the curtain back? He just pulled the curtain back. That's what it looked like. And the sun was just peeping through there. That's one of the pleasures that we enjoy as God's children. The whole earth is full of his glory, the Bible tells us. The whole earth is full of his glory. Do we take the time to look at those pleasures that God has for us as his children? And we think of the church, how we're gathered here this morning, the church. This should be one of your pleasures this morning as you as God's people. Family, we think of family, family ties. We are so blessed. And take time to enjoy the little things in life. Proverbs 10 verse 22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." I think we could put in there, "The pleasures of the Lord make rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." This is in contrast, I believe, with the kingdom of this world, where it says that the pleasures of sin are but for a season. The pleasures of sin are but for a season, short-lived. If we look into Ecclesiastes, we have the life of Solomon. We just have a small window into his life there where he says he tried everything under the sun, and all was vanity and vexation of the spirit. I believe he tried the American dream. Everything was given to him. He said it's all vanity and vexation of the spirit. That was his conclusion. It just lasted for a season. I'd just like to close here with a few scriptures that tells us that what God has no pleasure in. Ezekiel 33:11 says, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." God doesn't have pleasure in the death of the wicked. Why? Because he died for that soul. He doesn't have pleasure in the death of the wicked. And then we think of all the people in the world and how many are not choosing this kingdom. God has no pleasure in their death. It's in stark contrast where the psalmist says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Big difference. Hebrews 10:38, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." God delights in giving us the kingdom. It's his pleasure. But when someone withdraws and goes away, he has no pleasure in that. It grieves the heart of God. I trust that's not our experience, but that we would continue on. So where do you find your pleasure this morning? Where do you find your pleasures? In conclusion, I'd like to read Psalm 36, verse 7 to 10. It says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasures." Notice, thou shalt make them to drink of the rivers of thy pleasures. God's children. Verse 9, "For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we shall see light." I'd just like to leave those thoughts with you this morning. I trust as we go on through life that you are in the kingdom. And if you're not in the kingdom, if you're here this morning and you have not entered the kingdom, today is the day. The door is open. We can still enter that kingdom. And that those of us who are in the kingdom this morning, as we're gathered and as we go on, may we find pleasure in serving God because he has done so much for us. Shall we kneel for prayer?